You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The U.S. House passing the U.S. Grain Standards Reauthorization Act of 2025, extending the law through 2030. With strong bipartisan support, legislation authorizing USDA's Federal Grain Inspection Service to continue enforcing official grading standards for major crops. It includes corn, wheat, beans, sorghum, barley, oats, and canola. Updates include converting user fees into a trust fund, removing equipment and technology development from the cap on administrative expenses, and directing USDA to prioritize improved grain grading technology. Farm groups stress the importance of reliable inspections and uniform standards for protecting U.S. grain quality in both domestic and global markets. Now, for producers, the law ensures continuity in the grading system that underpins market trust and premiums for quality grain. In today's climate of tight margins, volatile trade conditions, uninterrupted inspections, and modernization of grading processes will continue to be critical to maintaining U.S. competitiveness. But Chapter 12 bankruptcy filings among Southern family farms increased sharply in the latest reporting year, signaling renewed financial stress. According to University of Arkansas economist, 101 Chapter 12 cases were filed from July 2024 through June of 2025. That's nearly double the 53 recorded in 2023. Region had previously seen filings peak at 148 in 2020 before pandemic aid and stronger commodity prices eased pressure. Georgia, Texas, and Arkansas account for the most filings over the past decade, but Arkansas stands out in the latest report, surging from just 4 cases in 2023 to 25 in 2025. Analysts note the rebound may reflect cyclical farm finances, but also highlights uneven stress across states tied to crop mix, debt load, and production systems. And for smaller operations with limited liquidity, high input cost and tight margins driving some families to seek relief under Chapter 12. It was a program created in 1986 to help farmers reorganize while continuing to operate. StoneX analyst Josh Linville says India's unexpected nitrogen tender shaking up global fertilizer markets. India announced plans to purchase 2 million tons of urea split between East and West Coast deliveries with shipments through October. Record 5.6 million tons offered that highlights abundant global supply, including renewed Chinese exports. And while India may meet only part of its need now, another tender could follow soon. It's bearish for global nitrogen values. In North America, UAN supply remains tight due to low inventories, planned plant maintenance, and possible tariffs on Russian imports. That backdrop, combined with strong corn acreage expectations, points to robust nitrogen demand in 2026. Ammonia may gain favors, the cheapest nitrogen source, with a solid fall run likely if weather cooperates. Now, phosphate remains costly, pressured by limited Chinese exports and steady buying from India, while North American production lags. Potash values flat, but may shift depending on farmer cutbacks in phosphate applications. It's Agriculture Today.
When you raise dryland cotton, one of the only things you control is input costs. Reduce your seed costs by as much as 75% without sacrificing yield potential with BSD 9X cotton from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Perfectly adapted for dryland acres, BSD 9X is large seed and has excellent early season vigor and consistently yields at the top in university trials. Find out about BSD 9X by calling 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to speak on behalf of the United States Grain Standards Act, a piece of legislation that is more than 100 years old.
Chairman of the House Ag Committee, G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania.
If we want America to maintain its status as the safest, most abundant grain supply in the world, reauthorization of this act before several of its key provisions expire at the end of September is absolutely essential. Originally passed in 1916, the United States Grain Standards Act gives the federal government the authority to set official marketing standards for grains and oil seeds. It also provides a framework for inspection and weighing procedures. Because of the Grain Standards Act, the American grain industry has developed an enduring reputation for consistency and quality in the global market. This vital toll plays a critical role in reinforcing the strength of our agriculture supply chain. It ensures that farmers, whether they grow corn, sorghum, soybeans, or any other grain, receive a fair price that reflects the quality of their crop. It allows buyers of U.S. grain to feel confident in the safety and quality of the products they need. The Grain Standards Act also supports U.S. trade, a crucial part of the American farm economy. In 2024, the U.S. exported more than $26 billion of American grains. In just my home state of Pennsylvania alone, almost $100 million of corn and barley are exported every year. These exports make a difference to the bottom line for family farmers and in Pennsylvania and across our country. American agriculture has certainly changed since 1916, and the Grain Standards Act continues to evolve with the times. The 2025 reauthorization of the Act includes key improvements that will help grain standards continue to modernize while emphasizing cost effectiveness from both government and industry. This legislation promotes technological innovation by advancing grain grading tools to improve accuracy, efficiency, and consistency while giving USDA the flexibility to invest in critical technological upgrades. Annual reports on technological challenges and solutions ensure Congress remains informed and transparency is maintained. This bill will improve long-term financial management by allowing user fees to be deposited into interest-bearing trust funds. It also grants the Secretary authority to permit domestic grain inspection at export ports, facilitating faster, more flexible service where needed. And finally, it ensures advisory committee members may continue serving until replacements are appointed, preserving expertise and continuity. While much of the Act is permanently authorized, such as mandatory inspection and weighing of exported grain, there are important provisions set to expire at the end of this month. A lapse in authorization would disrupt the current grain inspection and weighing process, cost the farm economy more than $70 million a day, and create serious consequences for American family farms, our supply chain, and our international trading partners. These disruptions are entirely avoidable. We are doing our farmers and export partners a disservice if we don't do our jobs and get this critical piece of legislation across the finish line.
Kansas Representative Sharice Davids.
As a member of the House Agriculture Committee, I have made it a priority to support family farmers and strengthen our supply chains because I know how vital they are to rural economies, to our global competitiveness, and to grocery costs. To that end, the United States Grain Standards Reauthorization Act of 2025 is so important to ensuring the continuity and strength of our grain grading and inspection system. This is critical to farmers in Kansas and folks in the grain industry across the country. I urge my colleagues to join me in supporting this bipartisan bill.
It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
If you look at conditions, as far as physical conditions, other than the extreme West, we've got drought in some parts of the West that would certainly limit things. But most of the rest of the country doesn't really have those kind of limitations. So it's just going to depend on what producers do.
Oklahoma State livestock economist Dr. Darrell Peel.
We even saw some indications last year of some of the big beef cattle states in the center part of the country kind of leading the way with individually with some increase in heifers and so on. So I think it'll probably build. I mean, if you look from North Dakota south through the middle of the country, down through Texas, you got about 40% of the beef cows in that part of the country. And that's probably where the growth will begin. But, again, we haven't measured it as yet.
So tight herd numbers here. What about globally?
It's not the same. Everybody's on a little different situation. Now, in North America, we tend to kind of follow each other. So Canada's been in a similar situation, although Canada just released some new inventory numbers that says that maybe they have started to grow. So that's a little bit of a change. Maybe that's a leading, maybe that's an indicator of what's coming in the U.S. Mexico also has had a lot of drought issues at times, not so much right now. So their numbers have been down. So we've been generally tight on cattle numbers across North America. You know, Australia has been kind of in an opposite cycle to the U.S. When we had big numbers a few years ago, we peaked in 2019 with our inventories. They had very very low levels. They had drought and fires and all kinds of things. They've rebuilt since then, got their numbers back up to a little more normal levels, and so they've come on strong as in terms of their beef production, their beef exports the last couple of years. And, they're really playing a little bit bigger role in the global market right now.
One of the biggest competitors has been Australia.
Well, there's some direct trade, obviously, on North America between Canada, U.S., and Mexico for both cattle and for beef. So, those things there. In terms of global markets, of course, the biggest factor we've seen in terms of beef exports is the fact that we're not trading with China right now too much. And I do know that Australia is one of the places that is coming on strong, even for fed beef. In Australia, they've developed, continued to develop over many years, a fed beef industry. And so they issued numbers not too long ago that showed that about 29% of Australian beef exports now are fed cattle, feedlot cattle, not just the range beef that we often think of when we think of Australia.
We focus a lot on the cow-calf sector and sometimes on the packer, but what about the stockers?
It's been a very unusual August in Oklahoma. We had some unseasonably cool weather. We got quite a bit of rain at a time of year when those wheat producers that want to plant early for forage production are in a great opportunity. I've talked to producers in the last week or so that are planting wheat or getting ready to plant wheat. We're going to have some wheat pasture, probably the best conditions we've had in several years. So, one of the questions is, how are they going to utilize that forage? And will they utilize it for their cows and calves? They can do that. Traditional stockers is certainly something they're interested in, but we know that feeder cattle supplies are extremely tight right now. And actually, if you do the budgets, they're a little bit tricky. I won't say they don't work, but I think producers have to approach it pretty carefully. And so, maybe one of the things they're going to do is use this wheat pasture. It's high-quality forage. Maybe they're going to use that to retain some heifers and grow them out. We'll have to wait and see.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of H.R. 4550, the United States Grain Standards Reauthorization Act of 2025.
Austin Scott is a representative from Georgia, member of the House Ag Committee, chairman of the Subcommittee on General Commodities.
This legislation reauthorizes the United States Grain Standards Act, a cornerstone of American agriculture and trade for nearly a century. As chairman of the General Farm Commodities Risk Management and Credit Subcommittee, I too have seen firsthand the importance of this law. Earlier this year, we held hearings with the industry stakeholders to discuss the Act's significance and explore ways to foster innovation. The provisions in this bill ensure transparency, market confidence, and fair price discovery, all of which are essential to a functioning agricultural market. H.R. 4550 not only reauthorizes this critical legislation, but also advances grain grading technology to modernize inspection and weighing services. These updates will help the industry adopt new technologies, improve the accuracy and the efficiency of grain standards, and keep American agriculture competitive in a global market. Allowing this law's authority to lapse would have severe consequences, costing our farm economy over $70 million a day and disrupting supply chains and international trade partnerships. Exports of grain and grain products in my home state of Georgia contribute over $900 million annually in economic output. And the United States exports over $26 billion of grain on an annual basis. These numbers underscore the need for uninterrupted, reliable, and cost-effective inspection services. H.R. 4550 protects these essential services and helps maintain the United States reputation as the global standard in grain production. I was proud to work with Ranking Member Davids on the General Farm Committee's Risk Management and Credit Subcommittee to hold a hearing on that laid the groundwork for this reauthorization, and I'm proud to support this bipartisan legislation.
Ranking Member of the General Commodities Subcommittee from Kansas, Sharice Davids.
First, I'd like to thank Chairman Thompson, Ranking Member Craig, and General Farm Commodities Risk Management and Credit Subcommittee Chairman Scott for their leadership on this bipartisan bill. The United States Grain Standards Reauthorization Act of 2025 strengthens the United States Department of Agriculture's ability to improve grain grading technologies through flexibilities to pursue modernization. Using new technologies to improve grain grading is an opportunity to make the process more accurate, efficient, and consistent. Additionally, the bill reauthorizes key USDA authorities for the grain inspection and grading system and clarifies existing laws. Reauthorizing the U.S. Grain Standards Act is critical for farmers and for the rest of the agricultural supply chain. The inspections provided by the Federal Grain Inspection Service define and classify grains, as well as assign grades to specify weight and quality requirements. These inspections provide a gold standard assurance backed by the U.S. federal government to both grain buyers and grain sellers. I proudly represent Kansas, often called the Wheat State, where agriculture plays a critical role in our state's economy. Kansas farmers feed not just the nation, but the entire world. In 2023 alone, Kansas farmers exported $5.2 billion in agricultural products around the world. Grain farmers in Kansas and across the country participate in a very competitive global market. Foreign grain buyers should be confident in the process we have in place to ensure that our exports are adequately inspected. The bipartisan U.S. Grain Standards Reauthorization Act of 2025 is critical for the global grain trade. I urge my colleagues to support this bill.
The measure passed the House by voice vote. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
You know, these cattle markets just continue to march on across the board.
Oklahoma State livestock marketing economist Dr. Darrell Peel.
Feeder cattle markets, fed cattle markets, you know, all the markets continue to just step higher. Seems like we set new records almost on a daily basis. And so, you know, the markets continue very strong. We're not seeing a lot of seasonality really in these markets. We're just trending up and kind of moving higher most of the time. You know, we're very, very close to boxed beef, and essentially we are at record levels for boxed beef. They've moved sharply higher. You know, and after Labor Day, you think about it, that's a little surprising. We think of Labor Day being kind of the end of summer grilling season, and yet boxed beef continues to move higher. The only 2 weeks in history that were higher than where we have been lately with boxed beef was during the supply chain disruptions of the pandemic. There were about 2 weeks when the boxed beef cutout value was higher, but that really doesn't count. That was an extremely unusual situation. So, for all intents and purposes, boxed beef is at a historic level as well.
And it means we're in uncharted territory.
You know, we've never seen anything like any of what we're seeing now. Obviously, price levels for cattle, for beef across the board are at levels that nobody really would have anticipated even just a few months ago, probably, let alone, historically anything like this. So we've continued to move into completely unprecedented territory with these markets. Probably one of the biggest questions I've been getting for quite a few months, but especially here lately, producers understandably are concerned about when does this market top out? What does the backside of this thing look like? And that's natural, particularly when you remember what happened in about 10 years ago, the last time we had record high prices. They lasted a couple of years, and then we went back down pretty sharply. This time, it looks different. The conditions that will put a top in this market really come after we start saving heifers and starting to rebuild the herd. Again, if you look at the last cattle cycle previous to this one, it was about a year to a year and a half after heifer retention started when we put the high prices in. We don't have any evidence yet, really, that we've even started heifer retention. So that tells me that the high prices are not in 2025. They may not even be in 2026. And so we're still going to grind higher. Probably we won't move as higher as fast as we have. We may slow down that pace of increase, but I think we're going to grind higher here, certainly through 2026.
And when we're in uncharted territory, the air at these levels can get thin.
Well, we continue to be nervous about this market just because of the levels we're at. Anytime you're at record levels, the odds have to favor a correction to the downside as opposed to continued up, even though the fundamentals and the numbers tell us that we're not done going higher. So I think producers are kind of understandably nervous. We've seen some early marketing of calves this fall at these record prices simply because producers want to make sure they don't miss out on it. And I don't think they're going to, but I understand why they feel that way. But we don't have any real concerns. No reason to think that things are changing. We continue to monitor demand. There's no signs of weakness at this point there. And again, the overall numbers and the fundamentals taken collectively says that we're still in extremely strong shape in this cattle industry. We've got an opportunity here I think we're going to spend much of the second half of the decade in this general kind of an environment with elevated prices. At some point in here, we'll probably start to grow. That's actually going to squeeze it even higher. And yet then we're going to, there will be a time when we produce our way back into lower prices, but I don't think that's going to happen before the end of the decade at the earliest.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
In terms of the business side of the equation for corn,
Bob Bowers with Manduka Trading in Chicago.
You've got the strong new crop export sales for the week of ending August 28th. That was slightly higher than the previous week. Cumulative sales, 28.6% of USDA's 25-26 marketing year forecast, and that's ahead of the five-year pace. So business is getting done at these levels, and the market's doing all it can to hold on to the 30 or so cents off those lows that it eked out just a couple weeks ago. In terms of wheat, generally speaking, things don't look that favorable. I mean, yeah, the market had a decent little push to the upside today, and it was nice to see KC wheat up about 11 or 12 cents, Minneapolis about the same, and Chicago around a nickel or so. But we are sitting right at those lows. And you've got the record global grain supplies working its way into the supply side of the equation. You've got the improving crop conditions and major exporters. You've got heavy fund shorts and strong competition from the Black Sea and EU wheat. If you dial into that just a little bit more, you got Russia, where Sovcom lifted its wheat crop estimate to 86.1 million metric tons from 85.4, so increased supply expected out of there. Ukraine, their crop estimate increased to 21.9 million metric tons from 19.7, so increased supply out of there. Argentina's crop is looking better. I think it's around 79% in the good to excellent category right now. And Australia's also reporting favorable conditions. So net-net, globally speaking, you know, wheat has got formidable competition. Our U.S. wheat has formidable competition around the world, and the price reflects it. If we dig into soybeans for a moment here, major bearish forces, in my opinion, would be, again, that record Brazilian supplies. You've got China, which has still yet to do any business with the U.S. for our soybeans. And then you've got what will be expected heavy farmer sales. On the flip side of that, on the bullish support area, you got some potential localized frost and disease risks that are tweaking away or nipping away at the yield expectations. And then trade policy openings, especially, you know, when you look at the recent agreements with Japan and such. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out longer term. Digging into it just a bit more in terms of yield forecasts, S&P, they pegged U.S. yield at 53.8, slightly above USDA's last estimate. But then you got StoneX, their survey is around 53.2, slightly lower than last month. So a little bit of disagreement about where it's going to, where it should be at the moment in terms of yield for soybeans. Weather risks, localized frost in the northern corn belt. You had that dry finish in the eastern Midwest. And then you've got some disease such as sudden death syndrome showing up in Nebraska fields. So that could also nip away at the yields. In terms of doing business, weekly export sales were 818,500 metric tons for 25-26, which was decent, okay, but new crop commitments are still somewhere around the lowest near about 2018 due to the trade war with China. And again, we're getting some flash sales, so that's always going to be a favorable thing on the upside for soybeans. And I believe they reported a flash sale of about just shy of 328,000 metric tons to unknown destinations for 25-26. So business is getting done, and the soybeans came off their best levels from just a couple weeks ago, but still are holding on to the bulk of the gains that we've seen over the last few weeks when it based a few weeks ago. So we'll see how that all plays out.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.